Morning. If you have a Bible, I'll invite you to turn to three readings. The first one is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read the first 13 verses. That's our main text, and we're going to read two other small readings, one in the New Testament, one in the Old. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in at verse 1. Before we do that, I just did the math here this morning. I think probably the first time I ever took the platform here in this place was 25 years ago. And that doesn't seem like it's 25 years ago, but I was saved in 1988, and I'm guessing it was probably a couple years after that that I was asked to maybe, I think it was a Sunday night, and I was asked to share. And 25 years later, I'm here, so I hope there is an improvement, those of you who remember me back then, but we'll see. You can let me know at the door, maybe. I'm choosing to ignore that comment. Matthew chapter 25, beginning of verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. 5 had understanding, and 5 of them had lack of common sense. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried or lingered or delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, or most assuredly, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We're going to flip back just into the Old Testament, the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to read just one verse or a part of one verse. This is when Jonah fled from the presence of God, or so he thought, as he was commanded to warn the children of Nineveh of the great plight that should come upon them, of judgment. And so he was on the ship, and so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper, arise? O sleeper, arise." One final reading. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, sorry, and verse 9 and 10. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's God's desire. But that all should come to repentance. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." We'll end our reading there. We'll go back if you want to flip back to our main text, Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to ask a very pointed question to start here this morning. I think most of us understand, or maybe we don't, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase a story in a moment. The text that we read in Matthew chapter 25, I'll kind of quickly go through the story in a general sense. I think most of us probably are familiar with it. But if you're not, I'm going to kind of just paraphrase. But here's the question. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to ask you, you can answer this in your own heart. How many of you here this morning expect to be in heaven in a coming day? How many of you expect to be in heaven in a coming day? It's a pretty fair question. In the circle that we're in here this morning, we have the Word of God in front of us. We have the truth. Most of us have are familiar enough to know that the Word of God is God-breathed. It's God's Word. And so we know that the gospel is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming for those that have put their faith and trust in Him. And so it would be a fair question to ask, do you expect to be in heaven? Well, in our little story here this morning, and not that I'm going to build a doctrine on it, but 50% of those that expected to go into this feast and to meet the bridegroom, right to the very end of the story, expected, even when they went to purchase oil for their lamps because they had none, and they came right back, and they still thought they were going to be part of that wedding feast, and they were not. Could it be this morning that with all that you expect in reference to heaven and your eternal destination, could it be that just maybe you don't have it right? And you will hear the words, and I believe they will ring in the ears of them that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, because He says, I know ye not. They will ring in your ear for all eternity, I know you not. I'm not here to cast doubt on your salvation experience. You see, it's individuals. It's God saves people one at a time. But there's a reason that this story is in the Word of God. And so we're going to go through that story. So here we have 10 women. And they're anticipating an event. They're anticipating an event. And so they all have lamps. And the reality is the lamps are in their hands or in their possession, and so they all have something physical in their hand. And yet, as the story goes on, someone was alert. Someone made them aware that the bridegroom was coming. He was not there yet, but he was coming. Maybe he could see him from afar. And so they all anticipated to go to this great feast. And the reality is they all had a lamp. But only 5 of them had oil in the lamp. Maybe they all started with some form of oil, maybe some small amount. And we could parallel that to what you may think it is needed to get to heaven. But in reality, when the cry was made out, when the cry went out to these virgins to trim your lamps, the bridegroom cometh, 5 of them all of a sudden realized they had no oil. And so they were scrambling. And they asked to borrow oil from the 5 that did have it. And they said, well, no. If I give you our oil, we may run out. And so they went out and they were advised by the 5 that had oil to go out and to get and buy it. And as they bought it, this bridegroom actually comes. And he invites the 5 in and he shuts the door. And those other 5 come back in full anticipation of still becoming part of this great feast. And they knock on the door and they say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the words were, it's too late. What is sleep? They all slept. What is sleep to us? Well, we all know that it's kind of an unconscious state, isn't it? Most of us, I'm a very sound sleeper. I could sleep through anything. I don't know about you. My wife says a place could be robbed and banging and thrashing, and I'd sleep through it. But it's an unconscious state, isn't it? It's when we're in bed and we're tired and we go to sleep. We're not aware of what's going on. And that would be true, I would say, wouldn't it be? It's an unconscious state. We're asleep. And there's a true story told of a gentleman. I'm not sure where it was, and I read this, and it was a true story about a gentleman that was asleep in his home. And for whatever happened, a fire was ignited in that home. He was the only one in the home. And before he knew it, he was asleep. And before was made aware, the whole place was engulfed in flames. And a crowd had gathered out onto the street. And many of the neighbors recognized that this man was in the home. And they couldn't understand. They couldn't go in because the fire had just engulfed the place. And they couldn't understand, why is this man? Why is he not coming out? And I could just well imagine, if you were on the street, wouldn't you roar and you would shout and say, come out! The house is on fire! And this is what had happened. He eventually came out of that house in a flame of fire, out onto the step, and he died. He burnt to death. What was the problem? He was asleep when he should have been awake. And that's the cry here this morning. Awake, thou that sleepeth. Oh, I know you're all here. You're not physically asleep. Maybe some will be by the end of the meeting. I don't know. But spiritually, you're asleep. You're not aware of the danger of the pending judgment. Neither were these virgins. They never anticipated their plight. They thought to the very end that they would be involved in this great feast. But they never made it. I know you not. You know what that tells me? That tells me that in order to know God, in order to be safe, in order to be secure, you need to know God. And it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see a great number here. I see most familiar faces. I see young and I see old. I see people that have attended this meeting their entire lives. And I want to tell you, there is no security in being here. It's not enough to fill a pew. It's not enough to go through the Awana program. It's not enough to play church, so to speak. Because you know what? There is religion in this meeting here this morning. In all of Christendom, there's all kinds of things that would occupy a person's mind and would make them feel secure in thinking that they were going to eventually never be under the judgment of God. But I want to tell you, there's no security here in numbers. There's no security in numbers. Because each one, I believe, in that story that was told, each one personally of those five that never made it into the feast would know this. I don't know the bridegroom. I don't know him. Because he says, I know you not. How about you here this morning? What are you depending on? Please don't depend on this building. Don't depend on the fact that you made some I trusted Jesus and I accepted him into my heart, and then nothing has changed in your life and you see no growth, but you're here. I wouldn't go out into eternity with just that. You see, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal way. Awake, O thou that sleepeth. I never go over these notes. If you've seen these notes, you would say, how would you ever make heads or tails of it? It's a bunch of scribble. But you know what? This story here, in my mind, is a very clear representation of the gospel. There's a call going to be given here this morning. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he first started his ministry, we're in the Christmas mode, aren't we? We think of one that was in a manger. He was the babe in a manger. He was the Son of God. And as he grew up, and if we read in the Gospel of Matthew, he started his public ministry. And correct me if I'm wrong, the first record of the Lord Jesus Christ in his public ministry, he would say this: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Do you know what? We're told as Christians not to use enticing words to draw you people towards him. I'm reminded of the disciples, just common folk. He says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." In the book of Romans, it tells us, "Beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of good news." I have an opportunity here this morning to just tell you the gospel of good news. We have a gift, and we're more prone to think about it around Christmas, aren't we? But that babe in a manger, he came to die, born to die upon Calvary. His purpose was not just to be a little baby in a manger. His purpose was to save his people from their sins. You see, you have sin on your account. And with that sin on your account, you will never, ever, ever enter the presence of God. You see, there was a call given in this story, and it was at the midnight hour. It says, there was someone alert. I don't know who it was. It doesn't tell us in the story. Someone was aware. Someone was maybe at a high place, and they could look down the street. I'm picturing it. They knew that this man would come, and he could see him in the distance. He had not arrived. And it says, at the midnight hour, there was a call made out. You see, the midnight hour is not the last hour of the day. It's the last moment of the day. And maybe it's potentially could be true. This could be the last call that you will ever hear. 18 people this year on Prince Edward Island lost their lives in a fatality, a road fatality. None of them expected to go out into eternity. Not one of them did. It happened 2 days ago, and then last week, the week prior, 2 people out into eternity. Time was up for them. Where will you spend eternity? Do you know what? Throw away all of the religion that you've been taught. Throw it all away. Let's get down to brass tacks here this morning. Do you know for sure that you will spend eternity in heaven? And what is the path to know for sure? Because there is a path. And there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You see, it's Christmas time. We don't want to hear about judgment. The babe in the manger. We want to hear about that. It's easy listening, isn't it? It's easy to hear and look at the nativity scenes and to hear all about this little baby. But the reality is, he was God, and he was pure, and he was separate from sin, and he came to seek those that were lost. I have a question for you. Have you ever been lost? Let me say it again. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been just beside yourself about your sin? I can only go back to my own salvation experience, and I struggled with it. I was thought from this circle here that I was saved. I was not saved. I never get saved till I was 20. I was lost. And it took me a long time to get to that point, but I did. You see, there's something required of you here this morning. The Lord Jesus began his ministry with it, and he was consistent with it. And it's the word repent. What does that word mean? What is required of you here this morning? If you want to know God, you need to repent. My repentance took the form of just giving up. I was against myself. I had nowhere else to turn. I didn't turn to religion. I didn't turn to my good works. I had nowhere else to turn, and I gave up, and I said, God, if you leave me in this state, I will burn in hell. I need something to happen, and I don't know how to get there. Have you ever been there? I was. And you know what? When I got lost, the Savior, the seeking Savior, found me. And he plucked me, as it were, a brand from hell, because that's where I was heading. And I've been saved ever since, and I'm secure. And I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have committed unto him. It's all about him. It's all about Christ. I rely wholly on what Jesus Christ has done for me. Anything added to it, nothing taken away from it. It's all about him. You see, there's no safety in good intentions. You might have great intentions this morning. You might say to yourself, you know what? This guy's got, as much as he snuffles and he's kind of disorganized, there's some truth to what he's saying. That's a good intention. You're on the right track. Don't rely on good intentions. You see, the soul of a man is very vulnerable. And there's one out there called Satan. And the soul is a very vulnerable thing. And it's on the brink, on the precipice, as it were, of either going into eternity without Christ, as those 18 people did, and I don't know, maybe some of them are in heaven today. I don't know all that. But it's a very vulnerable thing. And you might walk out these doors and say, you know what? Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. There's no safety in good intentions. What made the difference, really, in reality, with the five that were in the feast and the five that weren't? What made the difference? What's the difference? Well, we could kind of break it down, and if you were to go to some of the commentaries, and I believe it to be true, but five of them had oil, and oil represents the Holy Spirit. And I'm not expecting everyone to know that, and that's something that I studied, but in reality, there was something different. There's something that made the difference, obviously. And if you're saved, if you're truly saved here this morning, you know it, don't you? Amen. If you truly know you're saved, why is that? How can that be? How can you be sure? Do you know why? Because Christ died for you. You gave up, and you understood that simple truth. Those of you who remember the ferry, we used to get on the ferry boat. There was no bridge years ago. I'm dating myself. And I can remember many times, you know, you plan your day. If you're going across, you plan your day to get a certain boat. And most times, depending on the time of year, you would, if you get there a half hour early, you might be maybe the last bunch on, but you get on the boat. But I can remember an instance where we just pulled into the terminal and we thought we were going to get on. And the cars were moving, the upper deck, I forget how it goes, the lower, the upper deck. We were the last one. And the gate went down. We didn't get across. We had intended to. In our minds, we thought we would. It seemed like the decent line. It was moving along, and man, we're going to get on this. But we didn't get on the boat, and we missed. We had to wait. Well, if you miss this, there's no second chance. There's only one boat. See, Christ is going to come back two different times. The first time he comes back, he's going to take the church, those that have trusted him. It's called the rapture. The second time, he's going to come back in judgment. There's no second chance here. We could wait a couple hours and get on the next ferry, but there's no second chance here. I know of people that have heard the gospel all their lives and have openly refused it. And you know what? It almost seems like they're dormant. It seems they have no care anymore. It seems that it just doesn't matter to them and they could care less. Could that be someone here this morning? Could God maybe just one of these times take you at your word? No God for me. I don't want to be. I don't want anything to do with this. Be careful. Because one of these times God's going to take you at your word. God will not always strive. God will not always pursue. Maybe you have some doubts here this morning. You know, it's told to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you know what? It's not a bad thing every once in a while to walk around the foundation. Are you sure? Are you sure? The bridegroom cometh. The bridegroom came. In the future days, for all eternity, would ring in the ears of those people, I know you not. The very solemn words. Rise above all that is religion, all of Christendom. That means anything to do that has some form of religion. Rise above that here this morning. Kind of put it aside and abandon it all. Let's get down to the real stuff here this morning. The real truth. What must I do to be saved? Repent. Give up. Have a change of mind. Do you know what? Repentance is, I believe, a process in the life of a Christian also. And don't think you have to get to some level of repentance in order to be saved. But you do have to get to a point where you've given up. You know what? I constantly understand more about repentance, and I've been saved for 25 years. I understand that I needed to continually turn. I need to continually turn toward God. Because you know what? My mind constantly brings in things that are not right. I need to rely on the Word of God. But for you here this morning, that have never trusted Jesus Christ, here's the level of repentance you need to get to. You need to realize that you're lost without Him. You need to realize that you need to know Him, to come into a relationship with Him. Because you have a sinful nature, and He is holy. The babe in a manger was holy. The one that grew up, the person of Jesus Christ in flesh, was holy, and He will never allow unholy to enter His heaven. If you go away from this meeting with one thing in your mind, this is what I would want you to remember. And I hope it would ring in your ear until you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen carefully. I know you not. I know you not. Let me tell you this morning, if you do not know the Savior, that will, you will be conscious, and that four words will ring in your ears for all eternity, separated from God in a place called hell. I know you not. Trust him this morning. He is absolutely trustworthy. He's my Savior. I know no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Trust him, even this morning. Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We have a great Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, this morning we beg of those in the meeting this morning, we plead with them. Get their hearts right with God. And they can go out of this place knowing for sure of their sins forgiven, and they can anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the one who is victorious over death, of sin and hell. Father, may it be so even this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.